This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
After two consecutive wins at home, the Stags have started the week with a real body blow.
He's seen the specialist yesterday. He'll have an operation this week or next week. I'm going to put a time limit on it, but he'll be out a few months. Not quite sure how long. It's such an unusual injury. Everyone's a little bit devastated for him, first and foremost, but if we get him back on the pitch as soon as possible, we'll look after him in the meantime. We're certainly going to step up our search to bring one in as a replacement, maybe alone up until Christmas. To cover us.
A pectoral injury to star striker Reece Oates has put a dent in the fans' good mood and sparked several questions like, will Clough find cover in time before the window closes next week? Should he hit the recall button on the DJ decks? Or does he actually have enough in the squad to get by as is? We'll delve more into that tonight here on the Mansfield Matters podcast and share a talking point for your Tuesday evening, should the short-term loan ruling be reintroduced. Plus, we'll reflect on two comeback home victories with a dollop of critique added in from Mr. Pessimist. Yeah, that's me, by the way. Oh, and we'll also celebrate as Nigel Clough reaches 100 games in the Stags dugout.
I think there was a time just over a year ago and we didn't think we were going to make that. It's nice to get 100. There's a lot of managers don't get that opportunity these days. It's been a hell of a ride so far, I'd say, in the 100 games. We've had some ups and downs, but I think overall we've made a lot of progress, been a lot of positive things, and we've enjoyed it. One thing Dad always said, just get 3 points on a Saturday and it shuts everybody up. That hasn't changed, no matter whether you've got injuries, no matter whether you've lost games before, whatever. If you can just win on a Saturday, it shuts everybody up for the week.
All of that and lots more, including your comments, questions and opinions on all things Mansfield Town in the live feed. And no doubt lots of abuse towards me for what many will perceive as being negative. You know what to do by now. Right, let's get this show on the road and cross our fingers that it's the tech gremlins' night off. What is it that they say? We're like a swan beneath the surface. How apt. I'm sure you all know the analogy. Swan glides across the surface looking beautiful, looking effortless, whilst underneath its feet are kicking away. That's exactly what we do here on the Mansfield Matters podcast every single week to try and make the tech work. It's also what the Stags are doing at the moment. More on that later. Hello and welcome to the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. Sorry, I had a mouthful of tea then. It started a little bit sooner than what I was expecting it to. Let's find out who's joining me on the Mansfield Matters podcast tonight to talk all things Mansfield Town. Let's cross over to Sutton Ashfield and say hello to the real voice of the Stags. It's Mr. Alan Wilson. Good evening, Mr. Wilson.
Good evening, Craig. Good evening, everybody.
Let's hit the phone lines and we'll hear from our main man, whose name is Nathan Edge. Good evening, Nathan Edge. Can you hear me?
Even Mr. Priest, I can indeed. Hopefully, I'll come through clearly.
You are indeed. I've even got a nice little graphic of you on the screen just to sort of say on the phone is Nathan Edge with you doing some sort of pose somewhere. I think you were in some sort of holiday destination, knowing you.
I'm certain what photo you've used right now. I'm a little bit worried.
Well, you have got your clothes on in this one, so
it's not one of them ones. Okay, that's all right.
Family show. More from you later on. No Clive, no Cam either tonight. So we've delved into our bank of Stags supporting fans, Mansfield Matters podcast fans. We put a message out saying if you fancy coming on the show, let us know and we'll get you on. And that's exactly what we've done with this next guest. His name is Adam Crump. And like we were saying about tech gremlins earlier in the start of the intro of the show, I think it could be Adam who faces the tech gremlins tonight. Let's see if we can say hello to him. Good evening, Adam.
Good evening, Craig. How are you?
Very good. Welcome to the Mansfield Matters podcast. Before we delve into it, tell us a little bit about yourself, because you sent us quite a detailed sort of, it was almost like a CV trying to apply for a job.
It was. You don't just get onto these things easily. I thought after my many years ago on the books at Mansfield Town, so I thought it's probably time to dig out the boots again and show my face. I tell that to everyone at work that I was on the books at Mansfield Town. The bit I forget to tell them, I was a ball boy in the 80s, so claim to fame.
I'm sure you were well remembered by many people as well. Welcome to the show tonight. Hopefully you'll enjoy it and get involved with all the banter. You've been a long time listener of the podcast as well, haven't you? So you sort of know about all the little in jokes and that it's a safe space where anything really goes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we'll come and get your opinions throughout the show. Welcome to the Mansfield Matters podcast. And Clive and Cam aren't here. Cam is doing some cricket thing. Hollyoaks, pointless sport. And Clive is nowhere to be seen. So if you do a good job tonight, Adam, you know, you never know. There is a contract there to be had. So, you know.
I'll have a word with my agent.
So you should as well. As we always do with guests that come onto the show, before we delve into anything Mansfield Town chat related, we like to get your perspective on where are you watching games from? Where's your season ticket if you have one? Where do you tend to watch home games from? What's your away form like? That sort of thing. So the floor's yours.
I would have been big in the 80s as a kid. So Mansfield Town was the first team that I supported. A Rainworth boy originally. So during the 80s, Mansfield would have been the home team to come and support. Then you get life that gets in the way, so the 90s and 2000s. And I've not actually lived in Mansfield since the late 80s. So actually getting to games many, many years ago, it was a bit of a dark patch. But 5 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon to check the football scores. I used to check two football scores. One was Mansfield. They could win or lose, but so long as Chesterfield lost, then that was fine. I went to school in Chesterfield. So there was always, even to this day, I still look at Chesterfield losing scores. But then probably back to Mansfield more recently. 2016, probably Steve Evans, Fat Steve, got me back into Mansfield, got the excitement going. But then I think when COVID comes along, you saw you're locked away at home. I want to go to the football. Really, really want to go to the football. And then you get Nigel Clough comes along. He's fantastic. So for the last couple of years, it's been amazing. So we're watching the Quarry Lane end. We went there after the Northampton game and we stopped there since. Not season tickets because my work, I've got another couple of weeks before Saturdays become out of the game. I run a bowls club, so Saturdays will come out the woodwork. So it could be Tuesday nights home matches. That's been my viewing and I follow and I audio.
Oh, there you go. Fantastic. Well, we've already got lots of different perspectives on where we can see things and things like that, which is great. And Nathan's already doing a sterling job because he's already slagging off the C word.
Yeah, I had to laugh because I went to school in Chesterfield, so I exactly know the feeling. On non-uniform day, turning up in a stag shirt, probably wasn't my brightest move, but it made for an interesting day anyway.
It certainly did. Right, Alan, let's delve into all things Mansfield Town then. Obviously, you know, you've been back at the helm with the microphone, calling out all the PA announcements and everything. And with it, you brought the luck as well. Two consecutive back-to-back league victories, although it didn't start off great, did it, against AFC Wimbledon?
No, it didn't. I don't know. Well, I thought I'd gone to the wrong place for the first 20 minutes. They looked a bit all over the place. But once they'd got themselves settled down and, you know, they started to move up a gear, you know, there was only one winner. And it was sort of the same thing against Stockport. You know, it was a worldie, to be fair, Sarkovic. I was sat right behind him so I could see the ball. You knew there was only one place it was going. Pim was nowhere near it. But after that, again, you know, they played really well. And I was really, really impressed with Mr. Swan. very good player, all by the looks of things. Plenty of pace, gets in behind, you know, it looks a good prospect.
Adam, at 2-0 down and the way that Mansfield were playing against AFC Wimbledon, not really playing to their strengths in terms of the shape and picking things up. I'll come on to that in a little bit more depth later on. Was there anything in your head or your heart which said, you know what, we can get back in this? Or were you fearing the obligatory once a season hammering?
No, 2-0 down after 15, 16 minutes, the season was over. Here we go again. It's going to be a terrible season. So in one match, to have the season's over, to actually have the best match that you watched in a long while, you just think, how do you was that? So 2-0 down, season over, doom and gloom, and then to turn it around by half-time and then come out in the second half to win 5-2. Fantastic.
Nathan, it was an absolute epic, wasn't it?
Yeah, and unfortunately, it seems to happen. I've got a bit of a theme going. I wasn't there. So I wasn't too well last week, so I ended up missing, but I did have it on iFollow at home, and I considered turning it off after two, and I thought this was going to be one of them days. But I feel like Adam said, you kind of felt like, are we going to be in one of those seasons? It made me think back to that point last season. What, third game in, fourth or whatever?
Yeah.
Injuries stacking up, things not necessarily going our way. Obviously, we had Leighton Orient, which reminded me of Colchester away, where we had loads of chances. We couldn't get a win. Obviously, this time we lost. And I just felt, is it going to be a repeat? Are we going to have a really slow start and things go against us, etc.? But the difference was we were still playing relatively well. Their two goals were, you know, they took advantage of our weaknesses. But you still felt like we could get back into it. And I think getting the goals in the first half like we did were very important. But then, obviously, the red card gave us the big boost. But I think without that, I genuinely believe we would have gone on to win that game anyway. Obviously, you never know how teams come out in the second half. But, you know, one, we were playing pretty well anyway. But two, when they did get that man sent off, you've got to... Sometimes it can be difficult playing against 10 men, but we worked them exactly how you had to. And, you know, there's only going to be one winner.
I'm potentially going to start an argument here, which is always good for the content. We know Alan's feelings on the new system, Adam, of 3-5-2. What's your take on it?
I love it. I think it's fantastic. I think it's when they played Tranmere, the whole team, the whole defence was in the Tranmere area, down on the Quarry Lane end. I think there's just Bowery that was back on the centre circle. Proper positive football. I love that. It worries me, though, with them getting back for the counter-attack. I don't think possibly people like Hawkins is quick enough to get back. Mackie got caught out a couple of times. So that's the bit that worries me, but it's fantastic. I would just love to see Kellen Gordon on the right wing rather than Bowery. I think that would be fantastic. I think there's a little bit of communication issues between Bowery and O'Toole. Don't think they've quite got the telepathy right just yet. But I quite like the 3-5-2. I like it as a positive attacking football. It's great.
Interesting. I was just thinking about what I was going to say next when you were talking there, Adam. And at one point, I was going to turn around and say, it's almost like we've had a conversation before this of the right things to say to please me. And then you went and sort of slated O'Toole and Bowery. But I'll give you that for a second because I'm going to come on to it. I am still on the fence with the 3-5-2. And I actually think that the AFC Wimbledon game, and this is where I'll probably get shot down from some people, epitomised both the good and the bad of using that system. At 2-0 down, we were getting ripped, you know, left, right and centre to go 2-0 down. And I have to say, when I came home and watched the interview with Nigel Clough, it's the first time in a long time that I've done it, I turned it off and couldn't watch it because he was saying we weren't that bad. Those first 20 minutes are the worst that I have seen Mansfield Town under Nigel Clough. And the reason for it is because we put out a side which was capable, which we obviously then saw, of playing good football and really utilising the system to our strengths, but we didn't do it. We had all the attack, yes, we had the positiveness of the start, but the opening goal epitomised it. And, you know, if ever anyone wants to challenge me on it, I will definitely get the footage up and I will pinpoint it like an analytical, over-analytical coach this
Gary Neville.
Yeah, maybe, or his brother Phil, or his dad Neville. I don't know, any one of the two, any one of the three. But the point is, when you play the system of 3-5-2, you have to track back from your own attacks. We didn't do it against AFC Wimbledon, and it caught us twice. And then something clicked. And Adam, you mentioned there about O'Toole and Bowery not being on the same wavelength. And I think defensively, I think you're right. I think sometimes Bowery perhaps goes a little bit too high. O'Toole drifts a little bit wider and it leaves a bit of a gap and they get in each other's way. But offensively, on the attack, what really epitomised was the way you can use 3-5-2 as a solid attacking base. And I think it was the second and third goal. It might have been the second and fourth, certainly the second. O'Toole gets the ball, plays a wonderful pass down the right-hand side to Bowery, puts the ball in, Lapsley gets the header, great goal. And they worked really well from an attacking point of view. And I watched that game, and I've since watched it back. I tend not to watch them back, but I've since watched it back and thought, this really does epitomise the 3-5-2. And I think one thing which comes from that game, Alan, is if we use the system to our advantage and stay solid in it, we will beat teams and we will hurt teams. But if we play like we did in those first 20 minutes and don't use the system as a defensive tool, aka tracking back and winning second balls, we will get picked apart so many times. And that, for me, is a niggling worry.
I just don't like it, Craig. I never have done. I don't care whether it's England play it, whether it's Mansfield that play it. It's just something, whether I'm old school, you know, you can call it what you like, but I just don't like it. I think when, like you said, when somebody doesn't track back, they get picked off far too easy, where if you've got the four at the back, you know, the two central defenders in the middle and your two wide men, somebody's normally covering, you know, like your Harbottle did, you know, quite a lot of times on Saturday. But I just, no, it's not for me. But I mean, you can't argue with the results. But why do they have to go down either two goals down or one goal down to start playing? You know, why can't we just go for the jugular from the start?
Well, I think we did. I think that's the point that I was trying to make. Perhaps I didn't put it across in the right way. We did. But what we need to do when we do that is make sure that we switched on at the back, because we lose the ball in the final third. They knock a long ball down pitch, which they're going to do because we're playing high. Perch wins the header and does really, really well to win the header. But he can only do so much. When he wins that header, the midfield two need to come back and defend and pick up that second loose ball, because that's what they're... That is the whole point of that system.
Yeah.
The midfield is to recycle the ball and to start the attacks. They fail to do so, and AFC Wimbledon pounced. And of course, we've got the comments open tonight. I forgot to mention that at the top of the show, and they're already coming in. Craig says in the comments, asking me, worse than Northampton away in the league last year. In the context of that 20 minutes, in terms of how we've set up a brand new system and not learnt how to utilise it, absolutely yes, because we didn't do the simple things right. We didn't do the things which make that system great, which are winning the second ball, which are starting our own attacks and turning the ball and turning the game on its head and playing the strong counter-attacking football. He also says 3-5-2, in my opinion, Macca gets way out of position a lot as well. Callum says, agree, Craig. 3-5-2 works well if you know how to use it. Also agree with Alan. You can't be a 4-4-2. Nathan, you've heard me have a little rant away with that. You'll either agree or you'll start an argument. I want to see where this goes.
I'm going to have to sit on the fence a little bit, I think.
Splinters.
Whilst we are firing and getting goals, I don't see the problem. I think what we're going to get, there's a few more games like Wimbledon where you're going to get a high-scoring game for both teams. I don't see us keeping many clean sheets, especially like Adam said. I don't fancy Hawkins back then. I mean, he might be forced to play up front now, which might be a silver lining now with problems at the minute. But, you know, I think the personnel has to be right. I think they will get better with it over time as well, so you've got to give them that. It is a new system. But I think what we might see is not necessarily keeping clean sheets, but that might not matter if we can outscore teams. The problem is if we do have to start shuffling around with personnel, which we already have done, have to do to a certain extent, you know, I think you've got to be good. I think Clough said this actually at the start of the season. You've got to be good to play that system. A bit like Forest Green last year, they did it and they did it very well. Some teams try it and it doesn't work for them. So so far, I think we're, you know, we're probably just edging it of it working, because obviously we have got a couple of good results recently. But I think we need to be prepared to revert and revert quickly if things don't go as planned. And by that, I mean, if, you know, especially if we stop the scoring, I don't see that being a system where we're going to be able to keep clean sheets, just because of the issues we are having with players tracking back at the moment.
Is that a worry for you, Adam, thinking about that? Because, you know, you saw the successful teams last season in the league. They were the ones that were able to be tight at the back and keep clean sheets and go on and be free scoring. But I think, like what Nathan says there, there is a huge worry at the moment that because we're still learning, we're not learning the defensive side of it, and teams will pick up on that.
My worry at the back is I'm not convinced on the three, the three pairing. Where everyone keeps wanting to sign a striker pre-Oates going injured, I was worried about that combination. I don't feel that O'Toole's been on his best for the last 2-3 games. I think he's just slightly below par, whether it's the system that he's not liking, whether it's the pairing that he's not liking, there's something wrong. Wimbledon as well, the communication between Macker and Quinn, first 20 minutes kept going amiss a little bit, whereas they were sort of bosom buddy mates for the last however long. It wasn't right. There was something wasn't gelling. But then, the vice versa is later on in the match, it gelled like a glove.
Yeah, and that's the key point, I think. It's especially with the O'Toole thing. A lot of people talk about systems and players playing in that system. Again, he, like last season, you know, he wasn't a natural centre-half, and he said it in numerous interviews, both with me and with others, that he wanted to play centre-mid, and he's not doing that. He was playing at centre-back in a two and got used to it in the end. Now he's being asked to play on the right-hand side of a three, so that midfielder side of him is coming back out into the game, Alan, and he's wanting to go forward a little bit more. And I think, like Adam says, you've got to get the right three in there, and I think it's just going to take a little bit of time for it to properly click and gel, and we've just got to be cautious as we proceed with it.
I would say so, but and also when Nigel said reverting back to last season about, you know, he said look how Forest Green played, and you know it worked for them because they were winning more than they were losing. You know, when you're winning more than you're losing, Craig, you know it's good balancing the team. You know, the teams aren't overriding you. You know, you don't worry about that when you're scoring goals up at the other end. You know, the defence is like, it's like a bit part, isn't it? You know, if you're putting the goals in at the other end. But they never really ripped teams apart, did they? I don't think Forest Green, when they played three at the back, there was a lot of 1-0s and whatever. Mm. And same as you say, if they get used to it, fair enough. But like you said before, you have Hewitt, O'Toole, and who was the other one? Perch, wasn't it? They're your three.
Yeah.
So where does Harbottle come into that?
You see, again, I'm going to jump in on that, if I may, to answer that question. When I picked it, you what? Yeah, he's top goal scorer. Yeah. When I made that three, I'd not seen enough of Harbottle, and I wanted some more. I wanted us to be solidified at the back, in the back three. And do you know what? Since I've watched him and watched him grow, I'm more than happy for him to go in there. And that actually then, for me, would free up O'Toole to go and sit in front of the three and play the defensive role, which was the problem in the first 20 minutes against AFC Wimbledon. I think he'd do that role superbly well.
Would you put Hewitt in place of O'Toole?
Yeah,
it would. O'Toole into midfield?
Yeah, so it would be from right to left, Hewitt, Perch, Harbottle with O'Toole sitting just in front, which then gives us a little bit more. Because I think Perch would do what, you know, because then you've got O'Toole and Perch to sort of interchange. O'Toole can sit, Perch can go and wonder. I think it would work well, especially, you know, with there. But also, you know, like someone says in the comments, you look at Hewitt and look at down the right-hand side, and especially with the striker crisis, which... crisis is probably a bit strong, but a few people call it that. You know, with the striker situation at the moment, it would free Bowery to go back up top.
Yeah, I would like to see Hewitt at right back. And like Richard Dennett said, I would like to see, you know, if and when it happens, the Kellen Gordon playing just in front of him. Because I've said before on the podcast, and I'll say it again, he's a very good player going forward, but he's not quite so good, in my opinion, at the back, where Hewitt is, in my opinion, a better fullback. But now he can be with Gordon going forward, and that would free up Bowery. But you know, you've only got 11 slots, Craig, haven't you? You know, so it's a good quandary to have for Nigel.
Yeah, it certainly is. Let's delve back into some more comments. Bowery plays well rampaging down the right-hand side, says Roger. He holds the ball up great. I think Clough will stick with it and take the risk through at the back. Macca does get caught out sometimes, but he's great going forward. And also says, and he's crossing of the ball, needs to relax and take some power off the ball. Many conversations going off between each other, which is great. Craig says, I thought JJ's distribution and passing has been terrible at times already this season. Revert to the four is my point. And Richard then asks, which is a fair point, O'Toole in midfield, who are you dropping in that midfield area? That's a very good point. And do you know what? I haven't necessarily got an answer for that at the moment, other than potentially looking at, this is where I'll get slagged off. And in terms of where it is in the midfield, sitting in front of the back three, it would be Maris, because Maris didn't track back for the two goals. But I think he's a great player. But also, you know, you look at, I don't particularly think Quinn works in when we play in the three at the back. He gets in Macca's way, so Quinny on the bench to come on.
Can I just put one point to you, Craig?
You can put several to me. I might not agree with them, but you can put as many as you want.
No, I'm just putting it out there. For the last two games, in your opinion, have we missed Boateng?
No. Go on, Nath, say that again. Sorry, Nath.
I'd say, well, you wouldn't say you've missed him, because the players have actually stepped up, even Ollie Clark. I mean, God. But, you know.
Don't say something you're going to regret.
If you look at it, you've got Maris, Clark, Lapsley. They're the three that was, not Maris so much, but Clark and Lapsley were missing a lot of when the new players came in, you know, your lad from Newcastle and also the Murphy chap. But them two players were kingpins in Mansfield's run. And I don't think it's coincidental, you know, that they're playing really well. Your Lapsley and Ollie Clark are playing really well. So it is good for Boateng when he comes back. And Hartigan, you know, Hartigan's a really good player and he does a really good pass. But keep him on the bench. Keep him still while they're playing so well.
Absolutely. Adam, I'm going to bring you on this. What's your take on it? Are you in Team Craig and moving O'Toole into midfield, or are you Team everybody else?
No, I'd leave O'Toole in defence. I think when we're in the car and we're sort of trying to pick his own team on the way to the match, the hardest part is who's going to be put in midfield. So that's where the squad's going to come into play. At the moment, they've got some fantastic ball players. Maris, Hartigan, Lapsley, Boateng. He's probably the best ball players they've had in that central midfield for a long while. So the versatility is fantastic. So I like that. But I liked it when Lapsley was given a free rein when Clough first came in. And he was given a free rein. He was here, there and everywhere. But he's a ball player. He can do things with it. The same with Hartigan and Boateng, which is quite good for us. I think the part where we're lacking is when we put Bowery on the right, because you just said he's quite good at holding up play. No, just think, get the ball, put the burners on and go down the wing and cross it. That's the bit I like. Whereas at the moment, O'Toole gives it him and then the ball's coming back towards O'Toole. Go forward, bring into gear, go forward. Cullen Gordon gets the ball and he goes forward, takes somebody on and beats him. I like that. That's quite exciting. But whereas Bowery, he's like waiting to be hunted. He's waiting to engage with the defender. He stops, engages, and then takes it on. No, I want it to be more positive and proactive and go down the wing and take the cross. But the big thing that's been annoying me, I think it was the Wimbledon game, everything comes down the middle, and then they spread it left and right down to the wings. You've got Oates and Swan, both of them have got pace, threaded through the middle as a through ball. They turn, they run on it, they've got to get the defender to turn. That's the balls that they're looking for. They're not big lads, so they're not sort of like your Hawkins to nod it in at the back post. during, I think it was pre-season, I think it was Jason Law that was fantastic for Oates, threading the through balls for him, which was fantastic. So from the Wimbledon game, stop sending it left and right. Yes, do it every now and again. But one who was playing Stockport, I think it's Hartigan and Lapsley, threading the through balls for Swan, allowed him to get his pace to just do what he does, run, challenge, and Swan's Oates is the same.
I have to say, Nathan, you know, Adam mentioned Hartigan there. Obviously, when we signed him, and I still agree with this now, I didn't think we needed another midfielder. I think as though he's come in and has been absolutely excellent. And I actually felt against Stockport on Saturday that he deserved the Man of the Match award. I felt he was tremendous in that midfield and really looks like a tidy ball player. And I think, like Adam says, he can have that influence on getting players like Swan in behind and really opening up teams and defences, because the passes he plays are just somewhat sublime.
Yeah, I'd agree. You know, I mean, you say that not necessarily needed in midfield, but you think of, as you said about the striker situation, you now could be pushing Lapsley further up there, and it does free up a midfield space. So, you know, there is a place for him in this in the team. And I think the big thing from his, you know, from my point of view with him is it provides a different threat from set pieces. You know, I think he's already got an assist or two, hasn't he? So, you know, and he's certainly been more threatening from corners, etc. So, when he's been taking them, so we've got a different sort of threat there, which we haven't really had for a while. So, for me, it's looking like it'll be a promising sign. I just hope he doesn't. You know, a lot of Wimbledon fans were saying, you know, he's a good player when he's on it, but he does drop off throughout the season. But then I think every League Two, you know, club, I don't need to be fair, otherwise they wouldn't be in League Two. So, you know, I think he's another good option. And even like Alan said, even if when Boateng comes back in, if he takes his place, he's a very good player to sort of have on the bench and come on and make an impact. So we are very... at the moment, we're looking very blessed in that midfield area.
Yeah, we are. And Ollie Clark is certainly making you eat your words at the moment as well, isn't he?
Well, I mean, I say he's a, you know, a good game in five. He's had two good games on the bounce, so I'll give him that. But that means we might have 10 bad ones. So it's too early to say.
Never going to give that up, are you?
We'll see. I mean, Macca turned it around for me, didn't he? So you never know. You never know in this beautiful game of football.
Very, very true indeed. Alan, let's talk about another positive which we've had from the last two home games as well. And that is, despite the negatives of going behind in the games and some questionable defending and conceding said goals, the fight back continues to be there. All right, you can argue against AFC Wimbledon that we were given a helping hand with the red card, which for some reason was ridiculously overturned. But also, we were back at 2-2 when that red card happened. And I actually felt we were in the ascendancy then and would have perhaps gone on to win it anyway, regardless of 11 versus 10. But two games, two fight backs, we just don't give up, do we?
I don't know whether you had the same feeling or, you know, in the comments, whether anybody else had the same feeling. But against Wimbledon, I just thought that we were going to end up winning the game. I don't know why. I don't know what I saw, you know, for the first 16 minutes, because it was a bit tripish, wasn't it, to be fair, after the first 16 minutes. But after that, there was only one team admitted, you know, when it went off, fair enough. And we played the game as we should against 10 men. But I just got that feeling, Craig, that something special was going to happen. And I think that'll happen quite a few times this year, especially with the crowd behind them. Because the crowd are phenomenal.
Sorry, I'm going to go pessimist again, Nath, here. But we shouldn't have to go one or two goals down, should we, Nath, for that to kick into life? We should be on it from the start.
I think we have been, to a certain extent. I think, a bit like you said earlier, we were going forward early on and we're showing signs of being threatening, but it was the defensive side that let us down. So I'm just going to stick with what I said. I think at the moment it's a system that we play. Defensively not as strong, but whilst we're outscoring teams, it doesn't necessarily matter. I mean, I know what you're probably going to say to this, but what would you prefer, the 1-0 against Tranmere or the 5-2 against Wimbledon?
1-0 against Tranmere, it's a clean sheet. No contest.
You did say that.
No contest. It's clean sheet. No contest.
That's a goalkeeper's side if you're coming out, isn't it? But I mean, I don't know. I'd rather the 5-2, to be fair. But yeah, we do need to try and tighten up back there. It's been a familiar story last season, wasn't it? For certainly the first few months. But at the moment, if we can outscore them, I don't mind.
Finally, we'll come to you, Adam, before we move things on and talk about Reece Oates, Nigel Clough's 100 and a little bit more as well. Anything else that we've not covered over the last half an hour or so on the last two home games, 5-2 against AFC Wimbledon, 2-1 against Stockport? Have we missed anything?
No, I just think we've been doing it for ages now, just shooting ourselves in the foot. You say, why did we come out of the traps? Late in the Orient, 13 seconds, there was a penalty. But we just shoot ourselves in the foot by not nailing it. I think the positivity was there against Wimbledon, but it was just the errors, stupid. I think it's the defence. It's the defence that's not got the stuff together. But apart from that, the positivity is fantastic. And as you say, when Lapsley got the penalty against Wimbledon, that turned the crowd. The penalty went in, it was 2-1. And then the crowd wakes up. It was fantastic. The atmosphere was brilliant. It lifts the players. You go in at half-time 2-0 up. With one man not sent off. But I don't think even if he wasn't sent off, which he fully deserved to be sent off, if he fell for Quinn's gamesmanship. But as I say, Alan says, I think they were in the ascendancy. I think at 2-2, Mansfield had a better chance of winning it if they were playing 11-11.
Absolutely. The voice and the thoughts there of Adam Crump, today's podcast guest. And if you want to be on the Mansfield Matters podcast, make sure you send us a message on Twitter or on Facebook. Well, our attention now then turns to two games on the road with a little home game thrown in. More on that on Sunday when we have the usual Craig and Nathan rant. You ready for it, Nath?
I'm ready for every year. We're always on our own.
Absolutely. I mean, do you know what? One day our thoughts and feelings will come true. We will win that competition. First, though, attention on the league. Starting away at Sutton United on Saturday afternoon. Another trip down to the capital. And if you want to travel with the Stag Supporters Association, departure from the One Course Stadium at 9 a.m. and it costs you £20 if you're an Amber or a Junior member, £25 if you're a Blue member, or £30 if you're a non-member. And the number to call if you want to book your seat, only a few remaining, is Alan Wilson.
07967 689 597.
And if you fancy travelling to Doncaster Rovers in a week on Saturday, I believe, 12 noon is the departure time from One Course Stadium. It's £10 for all SSA members, juniors, ambers, blues, and just £15 if you are a non-member. And again, the number to call is
07967 689 597.
And please make sure that you've purchased a match ticket before booking yourself a seat on the coach to Doncaster. More on that later on. I think we've briefly lost Adam. Let's see if we can get him back. No, I think we've lost him. Can you hear us, Adam?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. We just lost your picture for a second, but we can still hear you, so it's all good. And Nathan's still there on the phone as well. Let's turn our attention, Nathan, to the big news coming out of the club today. We sort of suspected it anyway. We just had a little bit more confirmation today. Reece Oates out for a few months. Nigel Clough not putting an exact time on it because, let's be honest, he doesn't know an exact time on it. And it's sort of sent a few fans panicking on the socials, hasn't it?
Yeah, you could say so. But it is a blow. You know, I think he's become a real key player for us. So it's, and when you throw in sort of, the fact that we're, without, I know they're probably coming back soon, but the likes of Aikens, I mean, is he going to step up and get the goals? I'll be very surprised. You never know. I think we've been, even without losing Oates, most people are in agreement that, we probably still needed another striker in the building. But I think now, Oates, obviously we're going to miss him for a few months. I think it's, although we can get the likes of Lapsley up there, which I think in the short term we probably will see a little bit of that. But we've got Hawkins and Bowery as well that can contribute up there. But I still think we will need need another one. And I think it's good we've got Swan, because without him, we wouldn't have any pace up there really at all. But I would like another option similar to him. So whether it's dipping into the loan market, going for a younger, another young player with some pace and a bit of sort of ability zest there to do something a bit different. I guess it's to be seen, but obviously the rumour mill's going around, it might be Theo Robinson at the moment, because he's been seen around the club. So we'll have to wait and see on that, but I think we do need another body in.
Adam, what about you? What were your thoughts when you heard the news of Reece Oates being out for a few months?
I like Reece Oates. The goals he scored have been fantastic, exciting goals. I liked Swan on Saturday. I thought he was fantastic. He chased everything down, even the lost balls he chased down. Even against the big defender, he managed to get himself in between the defender and the ball. Don't know how he did that, but he was fantastic. I actually like the partnership of him and Lapsley up there. I'm not too worried of that. I think I would like to see somebody coming on loan, possibly some young 20-year-old something from a decent team. Bit of a point to prove, come and prove that point.
Does it worry you that we've lost a natural goal scorer in Reece Oates, and the only sort of replacements we've got are not natural goal scorers in terms of Akins, Bowery, and obviously Will Swan, who's looking good, but he's got very limited Football League experience?
I don't have the confidence with Bowery. I always think there's better players to go ahead of him on the team sheet. Akins, I don't think he's a natural goal scorer, but his endeavour and effort is fantastic. I think if I was doing the pairing, apart from Swan and Lapsley, I think I'd go with Hawkins, the big chap to sort of get the crosses, and then the young lad with the pace. But I'm not worried. The one thing that I keep reading on the social comments is the gentleman at Walsall, that he should be brought back. He's gone. He didn't bleed yellow and blue from the blood like the rest of the team. He's gone. It's over. I wish they'd have took the money and banked it, rather than sort of like leaving it to go through until January. He's not our player. Get over it.
You're signed. You're in. You're a full-time podcaster now. You're on the panel. Stop me having a rant about that. Brilliant. You're signed. You're in every week. Alan, carry on.
I was never convinced he was a Mansfield player. I think there was something in his personality that Nigel didn't like, that just didn't fit in with the team. I think that's why he didn't get his name on the team sheet. I think as a poacher, yeah, he's great as a poacher. He's proven that at Walsall. But he's just not yellow and blue blood. He's not part of Nigel's team. He's not part of Nigel's cloth. He was just wrong. Just wrong, wrong, wrong.
Mm. Some players just don't fit with certain managers. And for whatever reason, it didn't work. And we move on and we leave him there. Getting annoyed that he's scoring goals, of course, but that only means one thing, as we've said time and time again. It means when it comes to January, when his loan contract is up, we can put the fee up. Alan, let's go back to the whole losing Reece Oates situation. Are you worried that we're only going to be relying on a young man who, is only sort of, cutting his teeth with us at the moment? Is it too much of an expectation on him?
Not particularly worried, no, because I think when Hawkins is fit, he might be the one that releases Swan, and it could be a Matt Reed, Matt Green scenario, because they were good foil for each other. But I think we've got enough people in the building for the time being. I don't think there's any need to panic. I wouldn't go and fetch, just someone for the sake of it. Nigel's going to be looking. I know he's got irons in the fire. Whether this Theo Robinson chap is the real deal, we'll have to wait and see. But I wouldn't be too worried at the moment, because Swan, give him a run in the team. And when Hawkins gets fit, put him up front with him, or, let him stay on the bench and come on for the last half an hour if we need him, and keep Lapsley where he is.
I think it's fair to say at the minute, Nath, that, we're not crying out for Hawkins to play in that back three. So it does, give him an opportunity to play up there. Even though I prefer Hawkins back there than up top, he is articulate. We saw on a number of times last season that he can get assists and create good movement. He drags defenders out. It's a good option to have. But do we still need to dip into that market?
That's what I said sort of early on in the show. It could be the silver lining for me, than the fact that he might start playing a bit more up front rather than the back three. Because although he did a good job last season for the majority, still he's potentially the weak link there, you know, which you know is more of a striker, so that's fair enough. But so if we do see him up there, that's great. But the other concern is when you look at the players, if you've got you know, Lapsley midfield and Hawkins and Swan up top and still Bauer on the right, which you look like he might be there to stay for quite some time. You look at the bench and all we've got is James Gale, and you know, so it's a lot to put on him to come on, you know, to come on his age and his experience to be the man to count on. So I think that's why we just need a little bit more. Obviously, when especially that we could make five subs as well, we could have really made the most of that if everybody was fully fit. But we have lost quite a few players at the moment, so even if it's a short term deal through to January, as a loan, I think we just need an extra body in there, because again, you also don't know what's around the corner. If we lost another one, then it probably would be a crisis.
It does beg the talking point, Adam, about reintroducing an old Football League rule, if you like. And that was a few seasons ago, well, certainly before we were relegated anyway. You could bring players in on 1 month or 2 month loans, shorter term loans, to cover these things. Nigel Clough mentioned it on a few occasions. I would like to see it come back, because that's the quandary we're in at the moment. Rhys Oates could be back by December. He might even be back in November or even next month. So do we go out and spend cash, which we probably, you know, can't really afford to spend, on getting somebody in who's going to want at least a 1 year contract? Or, you know, would it be more beneficial for us, if that shorter term loan thing was a thing, to bring somebody in on a month to get them a bit of experience within a Football League squad, and to add a little bit of competition? I think that's what's really lacking from League One and League Two at the moment.
I think it would be fantastic, because you've got some young kids out there not getting games at the parent club. It gives them the opportunity to come and shine. And as well, in your own fantasy football team, you can play your wild card and transfer your whole team within the first 3 weeks, which I'm planning on doing as well. So it's exactly the same sort of thing. The cards that's been dealt us so far this season, we've been shot in the foot with research going injured. So we need to play a bit of a wild card, to throw it out there, bring a new signing in on loan, and then hopefully it works out, then it becomes a permanent signing.
Yeah, all it would need, Alan, I think, is just the Football League to govern it a little bit better, because I think a lot of the criticism over the short-term loan transfer business the first time around was that clubs abused it and just sort of got players in for having the, you know, for the sake of it. I think it would have to be governed a little bit better and work well, but I don't see a reason why it shouldn't work in League One and League Two, because squads are getting thinner. You know, the demands of football are getting more and more now, and I think it could be a beneficial thing, especially for clubs that are struggling to bring through players at the minute in terms of academy players. Because like Nigel Clough said in his interview today, you know, we could put our own academy players in, but the truth of the matter is our academy won't be ready to produce proper first team talent for another 3-4 seasons.
I'm going to say, if you other people will remember Paul Holland, obviously Dutch, he was only 18 when he came in. But if you're old enough, you're old enough. And I just think, leave it for the time being. Let Hawkins get himself fit. Leave Lapsley and Swan as they are. And if they're not doing the business, we've got people who can come on and do a job. But up until then, let them keep firing on all cylinders and see where it takes us. But it wouldn't do any harm to get somebody in, you know, even if he's not quite fit yet, sit him on the bench, 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, and see what happens. Because obviously, if you bring some sort of name in, whether it's Theo Robinson or whoever, AN other, you know, people like Swan are going to think, well, you know, if I don't do the business here, I'm going to be on the bench.
Certainly.
Giving the youngsters a try, I think if he's not working out, give them a bash. I don't know if anyone's actually been watching pre-match, but they're actually blooding the young goalkeeper. fantastic. He's going to be something fantastic for the future. So anything that's coming through those ranks, as Alan says, if they're old enough, give them a bash.
If you were Jimmy Knowles now, Nathan, you'd be cursing the fact you were injured, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, it'd have been an opportunity, wouldn't it? So you'd have certainly, I'd imagine, at least seen him on the bench right now and getting some game time. But again, it's just we're in one of those situations where we've unfortunately picked up a few injuries. So it's just one of those situations where even Jimmy Knowles, even though he's not going to be a starter every week, he would have been somebody, another option on the bench. That's for me why we just need to strengthen a little bit. And it doesn't have to be a starter for me. I think the players we've got are good enough. I think it's just something for a bit of depth for, making use of that, those five substitutions and having a bit of cover in case, touch wood, it doesn't happen, but in case we do lose any more bodies in the next couple of months.
Absolutely. Something for Nigel Clough to think about. And on the subject of Nigel Clough, Alan, he's reached a milestone, 100 games in the Stags dugout. We've put out a little thing on social media earlier this week about sort of what we've learned, four things that we've learned. What have your overarching memories and overarching thoughts on Clough's tenure this far after hitting the century?
Calm, cool head, very good for this, I wouldn't say type of football, for League Two, to do what he did at Burton. There's a possibility he could do. He's steadied the ship, he's got the funds in the right place, and it was the right face at the right time, in my opinion. It is a good name, he'll have plenty of contacts, like his brother, Simon, yes, that helps. Yeah, he's got good people around him, and I just think it was all in all a very good appointment.
Adam, same to you, 100 up of Clough. What have you made of his tenure so far?
I think he's fantastic. I think from his dad, he's just got exactly the same credentials as his dad. His integrity is fantastic. His gentlemanly credentials are fantastic. I believe every word he says, I hang on every word he says. I think he's the best footballer, the most exciting about football that I've had since being a child. He knows how to do it. He just brings people on and he just makes them into great players, into a great team. I think it's fantastic for Mansfield. We're quite lucky.
Nathan, I picked out four things, we did as a collective. Home comforts, improving, the home form and making it a real place, which is difficult for people coming in. Shrewd spending, like Alan said, trimming the budget, getting good quality players in that are better than what we had, on less money than what we were spending as well. Playing players here, there and everywhere, whilst it doesn't necessarily work every week or, 5% of the time, the other 95, it certainly does, and it's certainly proven to unlock teams and be successful. And the fourth thing was, it's given us hope of glory again for the future. Out of those four things, what would you say is the key hitter for you?
He definitely likes a versatile footballer. We know that that can cover multiple positions. But for me, he's had a pretty decent win percentage as well. I think it's around 45%, isn't it? And you think when we had that 13 game without a win or whatever it was last season, that's some good going. I think for me, I like the fact that we have managed to get the home performances and the home record as it is, because that's where if you're going to have a successful season, you've got to be good at home. You've got to take advantage of that and then get what you can on the road. But to see the ground as full as it is now, week in, week out, with the atmosphere that it brings, that for me is one of the greatest things. Just all these years, even when we've been having good seasons, it just never really felt like the crowds were necessarily growing as much, but this season just feels a bit different, and I hope we can just, a bit like Lincoln did, like, make the most of it, carry on. If we can get a successful season, I feel like it would go another step. So, the home record for me has been really key to seeing not just, things in a shape up in a league format, getting us up the table, but I just think for growing the club as a whole as well.
What it's essentially done, Adam, is make teams look at Mansfield away on their fixture list and go, oh, bloody hell, I don't fancy that.
I don't think they fancy Mansfield as a team, and I don't think they fancy Mansfield as a crowd. Just the sheer noise of it is fantastic, and it just lifts them. It is becoming like a place where you don't want to come because it's intimidating. You look on the highlights on a Saturday night, and some of the grounds are poor, very poorly attended. There's no atmosphere. But Mansfield, it's electric. I'm buzzing, and I think the rest of the town is too.
Yeah, it certainly is. You can feel it. I mean, Alan, you'll have sensed it more than all of us, really, because we can sense the atmosphere in and around our seats, and a lot of that then comes down to being in a smaller space around other people. You stand out on the pitch, you know, before every single home game as the teams walk out and see it from the pitch point of view. I always enjoyed it last season when I was listening to it through my headphones, when the noise as the players came out and you could feel it vibrating. What's it like as a vision to see when you're standing on the pitch, watching the teams come out?
It makes the... my wife will laugh at this, but it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up every match, especially around about 2:45 when the queue block get the Quarry Lane going and even the bottom end of the West Stand. It's just such a fantastic atmosphere. And I just stand there in awe, I do, you know, before they come out and I do my bit that I have to do. Because it's just fantastic to listen to. And especially after the, you know, what we had with the pandemic, when it was just so eerie, so quiet, I were lucky enough to go. But it's so different now. And I can also remember the first match Nigel Clough was back. I wanted to make a big thing of it because I went and asked Nigel. I says, look, Nigel, I would like to. And he says, no. He says, no, I don't want this to be about me. I want this to be about the fans. And that's fair comment to the bloke, you know. Yeah. And it, you know, it's been that ever since.
One little thing we should just touch upon before we run out of time, Nate, is that shrewd spending angle. And because Alan mentioned, you know, the pandemic there, and you know, every business, and football is a business, essentially, went through hardship, and it also came at a time where we were spending big money on bang average players. And what a job he's done in, you know, essentially, two seasons now to turn it around and to not only reduce the budget and get rid of that dead wood, which wasn't doing us any good whatsoever, but also attract quality and keep those purse strings tight.
Yeah, I think obviously David Sharp gets a lot of praise for that side of things as well. We know he's obviously heavily involved with that. But I think, you know, Nigel Clough said when he came to me, he said he wants to look after the money as if it's his own. So when he's making the signings, he wants it to be for the right price, etc. So you know, not every single signing's worked out. Obviously, you look at Danny Johnson's clearly not worked out, but that's football. Sometimes you just don't know what's going to happen until they're in the building and amongst it. But some of the signings when you wasn't sure whether it was going to be a success or not, they've shown what they can do and what they can bring to the team. And I think one thing that Nigel Clough is very good at is finding players that are willing to play for the shirt and work hard. And they're the ones that tend to be, you know, I don't know if you know, most people probably will notice it, but they're the ones that seem to be playing in week in, week out, even if their form dips a little bit. I think it's for him, it's about the trust in those ones to go out there and at least give 100%. And I think, you know, a lot of the time, that's what most people just want.
Roger in the comments says, and I apologise that we've run out of time to properly talk about it, there is still a bit of a question on the Stags playing away from home. They don't seem to be the same team at the minute playing away. I hope I'm wrong, though, for Saturday. It's very early days there. Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that a little bit more on Sunday as we reflect on all things Sutton, which brings us nicely to the end of the podcast. But before we let everybody go, it's time for podcast predictions. Adam, I know you've been playing along with this season, haven't you?
I don't think I've been doing very well, have I?
I can't tell you that until the end of the month. We've got one more game to go before I can reveal the stats on that. You've been doing better than Nathan, though, and Nathan's the reigning champion, so it's not too hard. As you are the guest on tonight's show, we're going to let you have the first prediction. As always, it's the outcome for Mansfield, the scoreline, and then the time of the opening goal, if you will. So Sutton away, how will Mansfield fare?
Optimist as always, a win. 1-0 scoreline. And scored in the 36th minute. They've got to score in the 36th minute at some stage, so.
Fantastic. Has that been your guess all the way through?
I think that's my tactic, yeah.
Fair play. Nathan, you know, you need to, I can't reveal the scores as is at the moment. You need to improve, so this is your chance.
I'm slowly getting there. So I'm always a bit of a slow starter. I'm gonna go in your corner here, Craig. I'm gonna be a little bit more pessimistic again, even though I'm feeling very positive and I'm buzzing at the moment. But and we do owe Sutton one, that's for sure. But I just think away from home at the moment it's not quite working out, and it's Sutton, isn't it? So I'm gonna go for a 2-1 defeat.
The first defeat. Oh wow, okay, 2-1 defeat.
Let's hope he's wrong.
Well, let's hope he's wrong. Can I have a goal time as well, please, Mr. Edge?
Yeah, I'm going to go for 19.
19. Wow, okay. I'm reeling from that shock, Alan. Say again, Nath.
I just hate Sutton. I just got that feeling that they're just going to do one over us again. So.
Well, we'll see in a minute when I give my prediction. Let's go from Mr. Uber Negative to who is usually Mr. Positive, but who knows? He's not mentioned his prediction yet. Mr. Wilson.
Sutton United 1, Mansfield Town 2, and the first goal will be scored in the 28th minute.
I'm going with Nathan. We're going to lose. We're going to lose 2. I'm going to also go with lose 2-1, and I think that the first goal is going to come in the opening 10 minutes. I'm going to go for the 8th minute. Sutton away. They're a team we can't seem to beat. We're not good enough away from home yet. I hope I'm proved wrong. I don't know. I just think it'll click at Doncaster.
Which I'm going for this time.
It won't click. So we'll talk more about it on Sunday. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to put us down for a 2-1 defeat, 8th minute. We'll put all of our predictions on our social media later on in this week. Make sure you play along as well. The link is in the description. We'll also post it in our social media. A reminder that we're looking for the outcome, the scoreline, and the time of the opening goal. And you must do what, Mr. Edge?
Submit the prediction 1 hour and 1 minute prior to kickoff.
And do it via the link in the description. Votes on social media, via direct message, or in the thread of these comments does not count. So make sure you use the link in the description. Adam, thanks so much for joining us tonight. I hope you've enjoyed your time on the Mansfield Matters podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'll keep on tuning in, and hopefully I can come and share my punditry in the future.
Well, let's get the verdict from two podcast veterans. Alan, how's he fared?
Excellent. Very well done, Adam.
Nathan?
The fact that I'm sat here on a phone again for whatever, how many weeks we're in, has done a lot better than I have. So, absolutely. Definitely more than welcome back.
Absolutely. Who needs Cam and Clive anyway? So, no, Adam, we'll look forward to having those back. Adam, we'll definitely have you on again. Thanks so much for taking part tonight. As well, really, really appreciate it. And if you guys at home want to get involved with the podcast and do like Adam did and be part of the show, drop us a message on our social media and we'll look forward to having you on the show. That, though, is all we've got time for tonight. Adam, thanks so much for getting involved. Nathan, well done for charging your phone. Alan, good to see you back as always. Until next time, farewell. That's all we've got time for this week on the Mansfield Matters podcast. My thanks, as ever, to all of the Mansfield Matters podcast, those that could join us, those that couldn't join us, and those that pushed on during the inevitable malfunctions of technology. One day it will get sorted, by which I mean I will get everybody together in the same room and tell Restream where to do one. Only joking, we love you, Restream, really. More discounts, please. Anyway, as always, remember to get involved with podcast predictions. The link that you need is in the description right now. Get involved as the Stags head for Sutton on Saturday afternoon. And we'll be back on Sunday evening at 7:30 Ish to talk all things Sutton United, look ahead to the Papa John's Trophy, where, of course, there will be the annual Craig rant about doing well in the trophy. Make sure you join us for that one and see if I can put a different spin on the same rant I've been having for the past 6 seasons. Who knows what might happen? Hopefully, we do come back and we sit in on Sunday night talking about victory at Sutton. That'll cheer us up. As always, my thanks for listening. Make sure you like, rate, subscribe, all of that stuff that podcasters say. We'll see you next time on the show. For the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there. Especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.